Hi, hello. Welcome to Mary's Cup of Tea, the self-love podcast for women, though all self-lovers are welcome here. I'm Mary. I write and speak about self-love, and I'm best known for my book, The Gift of Self-Love, and I also host retreats for women. And this is the podcast that will inspire you to love yourself. Real quick, before we dive in, I want to make sure you know about my book, The Gift of Self-Love. It's a workbook to help you build confidence, recognize your worth, and learn to love who you are. It's available anywhere books are sold. Thousands of people have it, love it, and have told me that it has greatly benefited their self-love journey, and I hope it'll do the same for you. And now let's get into the podcast. My most viral video this past year is called What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And I started off by saying, do not call your mom or spouse or best friend before you've listened to yourself first. And then I go into ways to do that, which I will expand upon here in this podcast episode, of course. But first, I want to acknowledge that it is really difficult to listen to yourself. It is not easy to trust yourself when you have been abandoning yourself for so long, meaning listening to other people and their wants, needs, emotions, and trying to make them happy more than yourself for most of your life. So, of course, when it comes to making decisions, it's going to feel pretty heavy and exhausting. And decision making is something that I personally still struggle with, truly. What prompted this episode is that me and my husband are renovating some house stuff, and this sounds like a champagne problem, but if you've ever undergone renovations, then you know how it just gets like the costs pile on and making the decisions. And because it's so costly, it's like, how do I know if it's the right one that I'm gonna like 5 years from now, et cetera, et cetera. So that can really drive one crazy. And rather than letting it drive us crazy, I think there are some practices, some self-talk, some embodiment, kind of being grounded in yourself, confidence practices that can really help us feel more solid in our decisions. And the other thing that prompted me to talk about decision making at this particular point in time is I feel like the holidays are an exceptionally tense time in so many ways, but especially when it comes to overconsumption, family challenges, people expressing or imposing their opinions upon you, having the boundary between yourself and also going out, social gatherings, tending to family obligations, trying to show up for others in a way that's going to create a meaningful holiday season. But again, how do you do that without abandoning yourself? A couple weeks ago, I had Bea Victoria Albina on the podcast. I really hope you listen to that interview. It's about how to stop emotional outsourcing. And I love this phrase, emotional outsourcing, right? It's putting other people's needs, wants, emotions, desires above your own. And I think we do this kind of outsourcing. One of the contenders for the title of this podcast was How to Stop Outsourcing Your Life, which felt a little too broad for the title, so I didn't go with it. But think about this concept of outsourcing. It's letting other people decide for you. Where in your life are you letting other people decide for you? That can show up in small ways, like deciding what you're going to eat for dinner. That can show up in big ways, like taking the career option that looks good to your dad, right? That could be in medium ways of like, you know, one thing I had to recently face is I had a big family wedding. It was my cousin-in-law's wedding. So it was like my husband's side of the family, that side of my family, doesn't quite understand nor approve of my tattoos. And I did hear leading up to the wedding about how I should pick a long sleeve dress to cover up my tattoos at the synagogue. And I ruminated on that for a little bit, right? because I had two directions that I could take with this. I could either A, play the good girl, the good wife, the good daughter-in-law, and do what I'm told and comply, which I don't judge anybody and I don't judge myself for the times that I have done that, because I have done that out of respect for religion, tradition, the family. There are times where, you know, I do cover my head during a religious gathering, or I don't mind dressing a little bit more modestly. Like, that actually feels good for me. But for this particular wedding, the other path that I ultimately decided to take, which was to get a sleeveless dress. And the reason why I decided to go with that is because A, it's still really hot in Arizona, and wearing a long sleeve dress just did not feel practical at all. I would have been so hot at that wedding, sweating, dancing, you know, not that that's a bad thing, but, you know, it was just not weather appropriate. And then I was talking to some of the other women in this family and what they were wearing to the wedding, and literally all of them were wearing like strapless, spaghetti straps, sleeveless. Not a single person I spoke to was wearing a long sleeve dress. And so it became clear to me that the long sleeves weren't just for like general religious purposes, but very personal toward me and my tattoos. And the thing is, like, I've had these tattoos since long before my husband and I got married. I don't hide them. I wear short sleeves all the time. It's not something I'm ashamed of in any way. And so to me, it was like, why was this like 7 years into knowing my husband and his family? Like, why now? Why this wedding? Do I have to like hide and cover myself? I didn't even do that at my own wedding. So it just didn't make sense to me. And I decided to go with the decision that felt most aligned to me, which was wearing that gorgeous dress that I found at a consignment shop for $40. It was, I think it's like a vintage David's Bridal dress. It had all the tags on it, brand new, but it was hanging at a consignment store, fit me like a glove. And I just felt so beautiful in it. So I wasn't going to not wear it because of my tattoos. And I'd be lying if I said that it didn't come with some repercussions, that it didn't come with some strain and tension with my in-laws. And that's something that I'm still currently dealing with. But nonetheless, I felt so much like me at that wedding. I loved the color of my dress. I loved that I chopped my hair right before it. I loved my who I was. Not just how I looked, but I loved who I was, knowing that I was, sounds so cliche and not to self-aggrandize, but knowing that I was standing in my power, you know, and showing up as myself without trying to hide any parts of me to please somebody else. And so that's what I really wish for you, that you don't abandon yourself, that you don't outsource your life choices to other people's ever-changing opinions, and that you don't make decisions based on the result, but rather make decisions based on the process. And what I mean by that is the result of my mother-in-law approving of my dress if it was long sleeve and not showing my tattoos could have been like, you know, keeping the peace and still staying the favorite prized daughter-in-law. But it would have ruined the process for me. It would have actually inflicted on my ability to enjoy the wedding, like quite literally, because of the heat warmth aspect that I described earlier. Like, it's genuinely hot, but also the process of me feeling like me. That's not to say that if I found a long sleeve dress that I loved, I wouldn't wear it to make a statement. Actually, that's another way to outsource your life choices, right? Because that means that you're standing more against someone else than you are standing for yourself, too. So this is not about like giving the bird to everyone's opinions. It's rather about giving the priority to your own needs, wants, desires, values, your alignment. Before we dive into how to listen to yourself and make confident choices, I brought up Bea Victoria Albina and her book, Stop Emotional Outsourcing. And there's a part in it where she describes self-abandonment self-talk. And even though this section isn't specifically about decision-making, I still thought it was poignant. It's about what that self-talk looks and feels like when we don't trust ourselves. So, bullet one, I don't matter. Well, the real me doesn't matter. All that matters are my looks, weight, accomplishments, grades, job, and how I reflect on others, like my partner or my parents. I'm only valued if I can manage everything and everyone around me. Besides, I don't want to have to clean up the mess that I know will come if I let go of control for even a second. That's what I mentioned earlier with my personal example of, like, I knew there would be a mess to come. Like, I knew I would hear about my sleeveless dress, but I chose myself in that moment instead of avoiding the result of not having to have difficult conversations. You know what I mean? I can't show weakness or vulnerability. It's a sign of failure. People respect strength, so I must appear strong no matter what I'm feeling inside. My big feelings aren't safe. They'll upset or hurt others. So I can't be angry or disappointed, frustrated or sad. And sometimes it's not even okay or safe to be too happy because if they're upset, they'll reject or abandon me and stop loving me. If I make a mistake, it proves I'm not good enough. Like they always said, if I'm perfect, I can avoid criticism and rejection. So I'll just have to be flawless to be accepted and loved. I think this one is at the bottom of a lot of decision-making hesitation, is trying to make the perfect choice so that you can perfect your life. And God forbid you have to learn, make mistakes, and not even mistakes, right? Like, what are mistakes anyway, if not the thousand ways that didn't work? Anyway, this last one I think is really going to resonate with my fellow overachievers. I'm fundamentally flawed and unlovable, so I need to work myself to the bone at school, my job, home, the gym. Achieving and constantly improving myself is the only way to earn the approval and affection of others, as it won't be given freely otherwise. If you've been thinking of a career shift or taking an unconventional, non-traditional path and struggling to decide kind of which way to go, I think that last one is quite reflective of how scary it can be to trade other people's approval for your own heart-centered path. So now let's dive into how to actually listen to yourself, trust yourself, make decisions with confidence, maybe even ease, or at the very least, not drive yourself crazy over every single option and its alternative and the pros and the cons and this mental tug of war that we do with ourselves trying to pick the perfect path, and this entire thought process that leaves you exhausted and disconnected from what you really, really want. So firstly, whatever decision you're facing, even if it's something like, I don't know how to respond to this email from my boss or awkward text from a friend, put it aside, blast music, and dance that indecisive shit out of your body. You don't have to dance, but you have to move. And I suggest sweating. Like, I suggest really getting your heart rate up because emotions need motion. So when you first get that email or text, you probably feel a reaction, some kind of activation. Maybe it's even a trigger. The first thing you feel usually comes from a place of fear. And the way that you can re-regulate your nervous system very quickly, more quickly probably than journaling or meditating or sleeping on it, you can move, like move your body. Then, if it's a big decision especially, we go to the meditation part, the inward element. Maybe it's a little bit of journaling, but one thing my mom suggests is going into a dark room, like your closet, and just sit there and hear yourself think. Yesterday, I kind of hit two birds with one stone. So for context, I hired an interior designer to help with this house remodel, and they sent us a plan that I didn't really like. I think we will have to go through a couple more iterations before we get to a place where it feels like what I want my house to look like. So anyway, the first initial reaction of mine was to start typing an email back. Like, I did not want any gray in the kitchen. Like, why are these tiles gray? Also, what's going on with these floors? I'm just wondering, there must be a miscommunication. And I'm not mean, like it wasn't super duper bitchy, but I wasn't regulated as I started typing. So my husband gently reminded me that we don't have to respond right away. And we went to the gym, and that's where I swim. So I went for a swim for like 30 minutes. I was doing laps. Some of the time I was thinking about the remodel. Some of the other time, if you've ever gone swimming or just a sport or activity that you really, really like, what's so beautiful is that your brain actually gets a break from thinking about daily problems and daily decisions, and you can actually just not think about anything at all. So having both of that was really important. I feel like pajamas are kind of the unsung version of self-care. Like, yes, we love therapy and journaling and bubble baths, but there's nothing quite like having the pair of pajamas. The ones that are beautiful and comfortable and cozy, like the ones I've been living in lately from Cozy Earth. They're made from viscose from bamboo, which basically means that they're buttery soft, temperature regulating, and make me feel like I have my life together even when I'm just lounging around with dog hair all over me. I did so much holiday shopping for my cousins, my in-laws, my mom, my sister from Cozy Earth's website. And I also got some new blankets for the house, including Cozy Earth's best-selling bubble cuddle blanket. Yes, it's as lovely as it sounds. My sister came over and refused to leave because of this blanket. Truly anything from Cozy Earth makes for the perfect gift for you or your loved ones. And Black Friday is starting early at Cozy Earth. You can also stack my code MARY, M-A-R-Y, for an extra discount, giving you up to 40% off in savings. And all of their stuff comes with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So this holiday season, wrap the ones you love, including yourself, in luxury with Cozy Earth. Again, my code MARY, M-A-R-Y, will give you extra savings. And if you get a post-purchase survey, make sure you mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here on Mary's Cup of Tea. The time for me to just swim and process and think about the remodel and then not think about it at all. I got out of the pool and I swear I had like a come to Jesus moment where I was like, wait, this is going to be amazing. And here's what I'm going to do with the floors. And this is how I'm going to respond to the designer. And actually on second thought, like the initial design isn't far off what I requested. And it is a good starting point. Like, I totally saw it in a different light. And I felt like a whole new person coming out of that pool. I felt capable and confident and creative. And I decided that I'm going to restain and rebuff the floors myself. And for some reason, instead of that feeling daunting, it actually felt really exciting because I'm like, wait, I calculated out the cost of what it would be to rent the buffer and get the finish, floor finish that I want, and it's only going to be like $250. So then I told myself, okay, well, if that doesn't work out, like I can always hire the professional, but $250 isn't a lot to spend on trying to do it myself. You know, in just a few hours of my time, a learning experience, it'll be fun. You know, I just felt free. I don't know how else to describe it. I went from being like, oh my God, this remodel really is getting the best of me to like, wait, this is actually a really fun project and I can totally try to DIY it. So this brings me to the third piece of advice. Remind yourself that there is no good or bad, right or wrong. There's only more aligned to your values or less aligned to your values. And chances are, going into the fourth piece of advice, keep in mind that most decisions are reversible. There are very few irreversible decisions. There might be some sunk costs involved, like I explained, $250 to try to buff the floors myself, right? That's a price that I'm willing to swallow and like a day or two of my time to figure out whether or not this project is going to work out. But you can totally calculate those sunk costs in advance so that way they don't cause you as much anxiety. And you can also calculate what's the opposite of a sunk cost, like a potential benefit, right? Like worst case scenario, I lose $250 and a couple days of my time. Best case scenario, I do the floors myself, which, hello, so badass. We save boatloads of money on not hiring to do them. And if it doesn't work out, there's a backup plan. There's plan B. There is always some way to catch yourself. So what is that safety net for you? Whether it's an emotional safety net, like asking somebody for support, like literally just moral support helps so much. Or maybe it's like a financial safety net, like the sunk cost calculation. Perhaps it's you telling yourself that you're going to spend the next 6 months, the next year going full force into your side hustle to see if you can make it into a business. And if that doesn't work out, you can always go work at the cafe. You can always go work at Trader Joe's. You can always come back to an alternate option. Maybe it sounds really scary when you have it all bottled up in your mind, but when you actually think it through most decisions are reversible. There are very few irreversible decisions, very, very few. A lot of them feel more permanent in our minds than they actually are. So now going back to there's no good or bad, there's no right or wrong, there's only a little bit more aligned to your values or a little less aligned to your values. And keep in mind that your values can change at any point in time. Maybe at this point in time, you're like, you know what? I just really need stability. I need the paycheck. The holiday season is here. I can't afford to just like quit my job and fly by the seats of my impulses and travel the world and start my new business, right? But you can come back to that idea later. Right now, the value is stability. Maybe later on, it's going to be freedom. Or maybe this brings me to the next point. Perhaps it's a little bit of both. Keep in mind that a problem usually has more than two solutions. There's usually a handful of options that are available to us. We just don't always see them all because analysis paralysis puts us in anxiety, and anxiety makes us see things in black and white, good, bad, extreme, yes, no. You know, there's very little maybe. There's very little There's very little, oh, what if it could, wait, maybe potentially, but, you know, I guess I don't have to go all the way. Maybe I could dip my toe. There's so much more of that than your anxious mind will ever let you believe. And that's why it's so important to do the somatic blasting music, dancing that indecisive shit out of your body, regulating yourself, giving yourself these reminders that you are capable, you're strong, you'll figure it out. Hopefully I'm a voice that can do that for you so that then you can take off your blurry, foggy, anxiety-ridden glasses and see quite a few more possibilities. Apparently, there are so many ways to rebuff a floor and to sand engineered hardwood without actually sanding it, even if it's like really worn down. And there are so many different stain options that could actually take away that orange tint that I don't really like reflecting into my house right now. So just one personal example of how much there is. Like, you don't know what you don't know. And when you are stuck in one vantage point, one perspective, especially one that has you dysregulated, it'll make you see things in a very narrow-minded way. So it's important to hang out with people and become one of those people that operates from a more expansive, open-minded place. The, what am I not seeing here right now? What's a different way of looking at this? How can I rather than I cannot? Sorry if this is very cliche motivational speech, but your energy matters so much. Mindset matters a ton. It's not everything. Like, of course, there's going to be things you can't control with the law of attraction, but mindset is what you do have access to. So why not try to make it the best it can be? Not necessarily to alter the result, but to going back to that enjoy the process aspect. Like, if you have a more in tune, aligned, grounded energy, then even if you don't find the budget to redo all your hardwood floors, it's going to feel so much more rejuvenating to take on the project to do it yourself or find other creative solutions or live with the floors you have and feel grateful that there's a house, a roof over your head, right? That is the kind of energy level stuff that is expansive, magnetic, life-changing, more so than any external result will ever be. Okay, two more exercises to help you with decision making. Number next, ask yourself, what do you want? Write that down. What do I want? And then ask yourself why 5 times minimum. This helps you get to the bottom of your values. So for example, what do you want? Say it's clarity about whether or not this relationship you're in is right for you. Should you stay or should you go? Why? Because I'm tired of feeling confused all the time. Why? Because when I'm confused, I doubt myself. I overthink everything. I don't feel enough. I overcompensate for my worth, and nothing I do is ever feels like it's making this relationship better. Why? I've been in relationships before where I abandoned my needs and it turned really dark and abusive, and I don't want to repeat that pattern. So now that I'm sensing this, I just feel afraid I'm going to slide that direction. Why? Because honoring my needs is a core part of who I'm becoming. It's a promise that I've made to myself for my self-love. Why? Because one of my values is emotional safety, feeling grounded, respected, and connected to myself, whether I'm in a relationship or not. Huh, interesting, emotional safety. So suddenly the decision isn't, do I break up with this person or not? It's, does this relationship support my emotional safety? Does it help me honor my needs instead of abandoning them? Is this relationship one that helps me love myself more and be proud of the person I'm growing into alongside this human, right? So it's less about, oh, well, let's make a pro and con list, which has its time and place, but I feel like sometimes it only scrapes the surface. And rather, it's about the value. I mentioned earlier that value of stability, right? When it comes to making a career change. For someone right now, a value of stability might feel like the most aligned thing. But for someone at a different place in life, or for you, it might be fuck stability. I want freedom. I want to see the world. I want to take risks right now. I'm ready for that. So again, values aren't good, bad, right, wrong. This person is objectively a good person for you, and this one is not, so you should break up with them. It's more about, like, where are you at in your life right now? What values are you holding? And what actions, or lack of actions, would best reflect those values? And know that you can always change your mind. Most decisions are reversible. Lastly, the last thing I'll offer you that is very helpful, especially if it's a bigger decision, you're going to try on each option and then live for a few days as if you've already made the decision. This doesn't involve any kind of action on your end besides just a mental switch. So let's keep working with should you break up or not. Try on that you've already made the decision to break up. Not that you've broken up, but that you've made the decision to break up. Maybe it's this weekend, next month, next year, whatever. But like, you've made the decision that eventually you are going to leave. So then you live the next few days of your life as if you made that decision. You know, next month, you and your boyfriend are no longer. You got to start thinking about where you're going to live. Do you like this city? Are you going to stay here? And then you live your life as if you've made that decision. Maybe you browse apartments, or maybe it's a mental state where you're like, okay, I'm going to be single soon, and see how that mindset shift feels. And then you switch over and try on the other option. You recommitted to the partnership. You made it clear that couples therapy is a must to continue on. This is your significant other, so you're going to treat them as such. Now try that on like a pair of pants. And how does that feel? And know that you can always take those pants off. You can switch pants, or you can keep wearing your favorite pants if that actually feels good. So I think this try on method really helps expand your imagination and take the mental risk before you take the emotional risk. It's a way of listening to yourself without ruminating. Right? You're trying something on like a pair of pants, you put on the pants, and then you go on with your day. You're not like fidgeting with the pants all day long and trying to make them perfect. Similar with a decision, just put it on, try it on, live as if, and then carry on. Try on the other alternate option and see, this brings me to the last point, see which decision feels like a sigh of relief. I used to have a mentor who would tell me, let the body lead and the mind learn. Because a lot of the times our body holds an innate wisdom that is not accessible to the mind. So when you try on like a pair of pants, one of your options, do you feel like you can sigh? Do you feel like you can let it out? Like your shoulders drop, like your belly relaxes, like your nervous system calms down? Or does it feel more up, tense, tight, holding on, frantic, right? Just misaligned in some way, and usually that'll show up in the body. Maybe even like your throat tightens, or if you have chronic pain like I do, my back starts hurting. And I know chronic pain is such a sensitive topic, but there is a little bit of a mind-body connection, right? I'm not saying it's the whole thing, but there is something to noticing when you're not in pain or noticing when you feel more at ease, whether it's around a particular person or while you're doing a certain activity or you're dressing in a type of way that makes you feel like you. Going back to something I carry with me since Elise Lewin was on the podcast a year ago, she wrote a book called On Our Best Behavior, The Price Women Pay to Be Good. And it reminds me, it kind of brings it full circle to what I started with my long sleeve dress example at the wedding, that in that moment when I chose the sleeveless dress, I chose wholeness. I chose what felt most like me over goodness, what's going to please the most people. And I think that's the ultimate goal in life. It makes me think of when Oliver Berkman was on the show. He talks about productivity in a very self-compassionate way, and his books are the only productivity books that I will incessantly recommend to somebody, especially by a middle-aged British man. But anyway, it is just such gold how he explains that it's not about getting more things done or checking more boxes, crossing everything off of your to-do list, being perfect, right? It's about a feeling of aliveness, wholeness, what makes you feel more like you. And capitalism hates such definitions that aren't based on numbers or goals or achievements, but it's those individual values that you must come back to for yourself in order to stop overthinking and make confident choices, or at the very least, make any decision and trust that you will figure it out. Know that you can always change your mind, and remember that you are worthy, wonderful, and whole exactly as you are. So make decisions from that place. If you're enjoying our self-love podcast, please take a moment to leave a comment or a review letting me know what your biggest takeaway was. As somebody who works mostly behind the scenes on this podcast, I love hearing from you, and it just keeps me connected to the purpose, which is always to spread the gift of self-love.